rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
Is this me?
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order.
The government is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're up while Lewis wrestles with the computers. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live right now. It is, what is today, the 15th? 16th? 16th, I can't see the little numbers anymore, I need bifocals. 16th of December 2010, as the clouds roll in and we await a thunderous storm. I'm going to fade the music out here, Lou. He's busy. We're having all kinds of computer problems. Our server went down. We got 10,000 hits, and our server went down. And the main program that runs our FM Vicegerent radio, the software that we use to regulate what it plays and when it plays, just took a dump. And Lou is trying right now as we speak. He's more than multitasking. He's maxitasking. Tasking. He's trying to get the software up to keep the radio station going to get Cornkey up. He's trying to get Cornkey in. Are you going to be able to do it, Lou? He doesn't know. He's an amazing little guy, though. Well, thank you for tuning in. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It's Thursday. Welcome, Scotty. Look at all those guests. Flora Dave, Olima, Red Pill, Warlin. Where's my wife? She's trying to get in, huh? Stacy's over there in the back room. Debbie's here. Pastor will be here, of course, at 6 p.m. in about another hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time, for Practical Christianity, as you know. I got some good news tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We're our special guest host. I was going to make it a secret one, but then I thought you wouldn't tune in. It's going to be Paul from Poker Face. It seems you guys keep bugging him to come on the show when I made those cracks about we need more patriotic songs. And everybody's like, well, Poker Face. I'm like, yeah, but we can't play that rock and roll on our Christian folk station. So he reached out to me and said he wants to come on tomorrow. He'll be calling in. And we have two phone lines now. Two phone lines, folks. Hey, Batfag. So now, when we have a guest on the phone, such as Paul from Poker Face, you'll be able to call in and ask him questions. You'll be able to talk to him. Something's going on here with my update. It keeps wanting to. I'm going to change it to 4. See, now Windows is trying to update. Look, our computers are being attacked. I don't care what you say, whether it's spirit of evil or a Chinese kid. We're being attacked right now. I went down into the valley to get all new cables because we're wearing stuff out because we're moving it around. Every single one of the cables didn't work when I got them here, so we're using the old cables, and only one adapter worked. I can't believe this. It's ridiculous, but we're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep doing what we can to keep the battle going. Welcome to all our listeners. If you're listening later than the 16th, our pod people. Okay, Bad Fag, we know you're listening. Turn it up real loud. It should be a good show, especially when the pastor gets here. I guess I'm on Wi-Fi. I didn't get plugged in, so hopefully I'll stay connected. A lot of stuff going in the news. Our Facebook listeners, man, am I getting attacked. I posted a thing about it, and I'll tell you about it here in a minute, on how the Muslims and the Nazis in Russia have been fighting, and they arrested like 1,000 Nazis. I love it when two really evil groups get together and clobber each other, and everybody got mad at me on Facebook. I just looked, and there's like all these, what do you mean? What's wrong with the Nazis? And I started posting stuff. Oh, you're comparing that to fascism. Rockwell wasn't in the, you know, and I'm like, just give it up. You know, I don't want Nazis. I'd rather hang out with an atheist than a Nazi. You know, keep it away from me. If you're listening to this show, I pray to God it cracks your heart and you realize your ways. So all the hate mail I'm getting from the Nazis, you know, it's water off my back. You're not going to convince me that what you're doing is righteous. It's just the state cannot control art, entertainment, industry, the schools, my family. It just, Nazism does not work. It's socialism. If you're a national socialist, that means you're in Obongo's camp. He's a Fabian national socialist. That means if you're a Nazi, you're laying in bed with Obongo. And Hillary. And all Hitlery, yeah, you Heil Hitlery. So all, maybe that's where the attack's coming from. Maybe the denial of service attack's from the Nazis. Today is Morris the Sleaze D's like 76th birthday, and I sent some thank yous to him and some notes, and I encourage people to do that on my Facebook page, Southern Poverty Law Center. He's just amazing scumbag, and I can't believe the Lord let him live another year, but it's the Lord's plan. So if you get a chance, make sure you send a little happy birthday off to Morris Sleaze. Scummunists, that's right, Warland. Nazis are total scummunists. Communists are scummunists, socialists. Oh, man, it's just insane to me. And I had this discussion last night in our Bible study. Oh, first of all, we weren't here yesterday because we got stuck in the valley. We have to make money to live. And we went to someone's home to set up a computer network. And Lou and I worked together. He did the hard stuff. I did the easy stuff. And we spent 2 days working down in the valley, helping people to get on the computer and stuff like that, and also do some ministering. And we made $50 plus a batch of cookies. And future, it was a massage therapy business, so I got a future massage when I need one.
What kind of cookies?
I don't know. What were those cookies? They were homemade. Where are they? Did you eat them all? Orange fudge, stuff like that. Hey, Gunslinger, welcome in. That's why we weren't here. Nothing was wrong. Plus, you know, we got up here at like 4:45, and it was just no way. And so we had to set up for the Bible study. So we had Bible study. Had a great Bible study last night discussing, again, the Plymouth plantation and how all that worked and how communism, the first year, almost killed them all. 50% of them died because they put all things together in one bin, and then, you know, the weak didn't have to work. The lazy didn't have to work. The weak were dying. And five or six people, maybe half a dozen to maybe 10 at the most, got those people through that first winter. And then the next winter they realized it. Hey, Dutch, I got on the morning intelligence report, and I got the word scummunist out. Hey, way to go, Warland. I've been using scummunist a lot. I've been spreading it out on Facebook with the code 20 stuff. We've been using it. Whenever I send out emails to anyone, I mention scumminess. I need to put a little copyright Warland, you know, on there, but I do appreciate it. Warland did invent that. A loyal fan of the Dutch Jones radio program. And we apologize for not getting your care packages out. It's been hectic here. We're trying to make a good Christmas for our kids, and we're working when we can. We're running around.
First of the year.
We had to go down in the valley to get this new phone for the second phone line. Just keep using the same phone line for now, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. What we'll do is we'll keep the secret bat phone for guests. And for those of you like Minuteman, who's he's not in there. Minuteman, the official official semi co-host of the show, and then Warland calls in. I'll give you my backline, Warland, so you can come in and be a co-host. Have any of you noticed that the stores are running out of flour, sugar, and salt, or is it just down here in Georgia?
No.
We haven't noticed it up here. That's a good point, Gunslinger. Regionally, you will see that. We're doing okay here. One thing we noticed is that big bags of cheese are disappearing. It's like smaller cheese, bulk cheese. We were trying to look around for today. Weird stuff going in the stores. We just went to the store today because we're going to have chili verde for Christmas. So we had to get several hundred tortillas and cheese. And I know we should be making our own tortillas, and Lou should be making cheese from the goats out here, but we're doing it ourselves.
What's going on?
He hates chili verde. Lee won't eat chili verde. So without further ado, let's get into some of the news articles. Honestly, I've been kind of out of it. So if you guys see something that I haven't seen, one thing I want to comment on, we've all seen the video, and I was going to comment on it yesterday, of that Florida shooter at the school board meeting. Two things. That old lady who hit him with the purse, tactically wrong, but gotta love her guts. She deserves a medal for that. She was thinking of her co-worker. She went back and hit. I would have hit him in the head, but the guy was, you know, a bear. And the second thing is, whoever that school board supervisor was, the guy who was in charge, handled himself incredible under fire, didn't he? I mean, even when he's like, don't shoot me. Now, I don't want to go into too great a detail, but I've been in a scenario that was almost exactly like that, and I saw everybody scramble, and I saw the people begging for their lives like stuck pigs. They were incredible. They were arguing with him verbally. The one thing I didn't like was, where was the security guard? As soon as that man pulled his weapon, he should have been dead. And what's with shooting the guy? I've heard 2 to 4, or somebody even said 6 times, and he didn't die. What kind of weapon is he using? How is he aiming? It was incredible. And everybody's saying that this guy was a gun nut. No. Listen to what he said. He was a scummunist. He was upset about his benefits being taken away. He was upset about his disability. And I looked into the guy's background. He's been suing 6 times. He sued Social Security to go on disability. 6 times. And he failed every time. The guy was a lazy slob. He didn't want to work for a living. His first wife, he shot at his first wife's tires. He could shoot straight down with a rifle. And he said it was just a misunderstanding, and they sent him to jail for a little bit, and then they let the maniac out. So all you people saying, oh, look, we got to disarm everybody. This guy wasn't allowed to have guns. It proves that only criminals have guns in these things. And Florida is not a gun control state. So this retard should have had a bullet in his head long ago. He already tried to kill his ex-wife. That just proves how bad the system is. They let these retards walk among us, and then they use them as poster children. But this guy was a Fabian socialist. He was a guy that, my benefits, you take my benefits, and I'm going to shoot all of you. The other thing is, why didn't the council have a gun? And then we have a couple school teachers who come to our church, good and bad, and the one guy says, well, it's school property. They have laws in Florida that you can't have guns on school property. There you go. Boom. Only a security guard could do it. And he's out in the back, you know, eating Fritos. And what's that gunshot? He should have been in the room acting as a bailiff. And as soon as that weapon presented itself, bullet to the head. Bullet to the head. I guarantee you, if Lou had been in there, the guy had been, you know, the death of 1,000 slices, right, Lou? Lou had the cheese grater out. We only let him carry a cheese grater in public. You know, we don't want him carrying a gun. But that's what he does. What do we got going on here? Oh, speaking of Florida, did you see what Rick Scott did? He wants to take state and federal funds in Florida. This is Governor Rick Scott. And give coupons, give you vouchers so you can pull your kids out of the public cesspool system, send to private Christian schools or whatever. I think they should offer it up to homeschool, too. If you homeschool your kid, you should get a refund on your taxes, on your property taxes. You know, if that's what it goes for. So he's catching a lot of flack for that. The funny thing is that these people are like, it's unconstitutional to take money out of federal and state coffers for Christian schools. It's unconstitutional to have state and federal school funding. Period. And let me pull that up. I'm having trouble seeing here, guys, so I'm going to try and... It's just I'm having a bad sugar day. My eyesight gets bad. So bear with me on this while I do this. So let me go back into the chat room. Where's the chat room? It's you guys heard the guy was shooting blanks. He may have, because I saw strikes on the ceiling, though. If you watch the video, he was doing that. He was hitting the ceiling when he was laying on the ground there, when he should have been bleeding. Okay, let's see here. It won't load. What a load that is. But I think it's funny when governors take a half step, even like this, in the right direction, that the federal government comes in and jumps all over, and there's going to be lawsuits. His own state Supreme Court says it's unconstitutional. Other states are already doing the voucher system. I think Colorado, New Jersey, Delaware. What's up with Delaware? That's like the weird state. That's like the appendix of the United States. Delaware. I know nothing about Delaware. I mean, at least Rhode Island's got some interesting Christian heritage, but what's Delaware? It was a land grant. But yeah, I'm from Delaware. But anyway, look into that. You know, find out about school vouchers in your area. But homeschool is the answer. Public schools are unconstitutional, not school vouchers. Now, today is Morris the Sleaze D's birthday. He's 74. I was wrong. He's been too long on this planet. And I am seriously encouraging folks to look up Psalm 35. Psalm 35 in this case, and invoke imprecatory prayer against Morris the Sleazy. You know, this guy used to represent the Klan. Then when he found out the Klan didn't have enough money to pay him, he could make more money suing them, he jumped to the other side. Total scumbag. Just typical lawyer. And everybody says, oh, everybody hates lawyers except their own. No, I hate all lawyers. I've had to use lawyers 3 or 4 times in my life, and I hated them. I hated even having to go through that process. Speaking of poker face, let me get this. I'll put this in the chat room. If you go to my Facebook, you're going to see a little post there. They're promoting a new video, but they just want people to take a look at a new video, a different video that's up. It's Poker Face Plays Live at Progressive Demokamis of America, Demokamis of America 2005 convention, and they got a video up on that, a live video, and they want people to look at it. They want you. Let me see if I can get this in the chat room. I'm working on this, guys. I'm very slow today. Christmas shopping does that. It was fun, though, wasn't it, Stace? We were having fun. Okay, let me do this. Somebody's asking me here, what's my take on Governor Chris Christie? I think he's fat. That's all I really know, and I know everybody's mad. Is that the same? Is that the... they're talking about people making fun of his weight. I really don't know much about him. I'm going to be honest with you. I focus on California because we're like circling the drain right now. If you want to call in and talk about Christie and share stuff and then see what other people do, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Let's make sure it works here. Yeah, there it is. Hey, Mary, I don't know if you got my emails. I've been trying to send emails via my new monster phone that I can't figure out. And the pastor has not had email for 2 weeks, I found out. His computer died and it hasn't come back from repair. So the reason the pastor hasn't emailed you and any of the other listeners that are sending him stuff, he hasn't had internet. When he comes over, I'm going to offer him to use ours, when he wants to, if he wants to check his email and stuff. But that poor guy, he gets tons of email. Plus, as I said before, he's going to speak before the Montana legislature in the beginning of January. He's really working on a speech on covenants and compacts. Covenants and compacts. And it's going to be amazing stuff. So he's not blowing you off, Mary. Not that I thought you thought he was, but you get my point. So it's good he's doing that. So welcome, Mary. Anybody else new get in there? We got a lot of guests today. And like I said, the reason we weren't up yesterday is we just got here late. It wasn't because of the denial of service attacks. We got like 10,000 hits on the website. I just checked. And so they're moving it to a bigger server, more space, all that kind of stuff. On a side here, I want to complain about Motorola. I got this really nice gift of a Motorola flip side phone. I guess it's one of those, what do they call them, droids? AT&T. And this thing is a beast. I can't use it. It's just this thing. It's like it, when it turned on, it asked for my email address. Like an idiot, we put it in there. And then it immediately downloaded all of my friends on Facebook and put them into my contacts. I got like 650 contacts. To look for the 20 people I need, I got to go through 600. So I've reset the phone twice, and it keeps downloading my Facebook page, even though I give it a different email address. It's like, it scares me. Then I realize it's got not one, but two GPS programs in it. So I turn those off. It's like, granted, I love the audio quality, and I love, maybe being able to check my website, and texting is easier because it's like a mini computer. I can, text now. But these new computers are scary. If I can't, I'm going to bring it back and get like an old brick phone or something. If I can't, like the one that goes under the seat, because this is scaring me. It started talking to me the other day. It started talking, and then I said, hey, I need to call Steve Klein, and all of a sudden it dialed him. And I'm like, I didn't tell it to dial Steve Klein, and so I had to turn off the voice activation, and I didn't even know it knew Steve Klein's phone number. Wow. Creepy, huh? Of course I'm exaggerating and overreacting, but these new phones are scary. Nanotechnology. Yeah, Stacy wants it so she can play games on it. I don't know. Of course, the first EMP that comes along, this whole thing's going to shut down, and they're not going to work anyway, right? Let's see here. Did it open? Oh, it finally opened. Newly elected Florida Governor Rick Scott is making waves with his proposal that all children should receive education vouchers that they can use to attend private, public, or charter schools. The parents should figure out where the dollars for that student are spent. I love it. The Republican governor-elect told the St. Petersburg Times that, so if the parents want to spend it on virtual school, they spend it on virtual school. If they want to spend it on whatever education system they believe in, whether it's in the public school or that public school or a private school this is worded bad. It's like repeats itself over and over again. Whether it's the public school or this public school or that public school or this private school or that private school, that's what ought to happen. Now, the idea has previously won backing from the late Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman and former governor of Florida Jeb Bush as a way to foster competition among schools and give parents more choice in their children's education. What this is, it's a way to get rid of segregation. desegregation. It's to counter all that stupidity, and just let people go where they want to go. Let the market, you know, if somebody gets a voucher, they go. Make it competitive. Could you imagine if schools were competitive? You know, you'd have a lot more teachers getting fired if they were vying for those dollars that each parent got to decide on. Not that I like public schools. I like private schools. I like Christian schools. But there's one major hitch. The Florida Supreme Court has ruled private school vouchers unconstitutional, concluding that they endanger the free public school system, which means they know that it's already frail and should be endangered. I mean, if they're saying that this alone is going to hurt the public school system, then they know something's up. And it turns out many in the education world agree. It's not even only those connected to the teachers' union, though for the record, a Florida teachers' union spokesman's called it a terrible idea. Yeah, it's going to take away their cash cow, as it were. The details of the plan are still unclear, but the proposed voucher would most likely be for $5,500, the average state pupil contribution per student contribution that the state makes to public schools. Now, the federal government says if they do this, they're going to pull the funding. Now, let me see. Send my daughter to Christian school when I did. It was $500 a month for 10 months out of the year. That was $5,000 right there, $5,500. It leaves me $500 for pencils and spitwad machines for her. So that's it. I like that idea. The state gave me my money back they took from my taxes so that I could send her to Kings River Christian School. That'd be great. I'd prefer to homeschool, but since, you know, she's in the hands of the evil ex-birth mother, I don't have a say in that. Now, the state would deposit that sum into each child's education savings account. Theoretically, every Florida child would have one, instead of into the school district's coffers. Oh, that's got to hurt the school districts. Can you imagine? What do you mean I don't get to control that money? I don't get to use it to go on junkets to China to see how they're teaching their kids. Now, the state currently doles out vouchers to some low-income and disabled students, a program that has not been challenged in court. You know, I've seen pregnant girls get these here in California. I've known parents that had pregnant kids that they get the voucher and they send their kid to a private school or to a community college or what they call here ROP. What's that stand for? ROP is, it stands for... Anyway, it teaches them skills instead of school, and they're like the drug kids and that kind of stuff. Did I just hear music? No. Wow, I'm hearing weird stuff through my headphones. In addition, the St. Petersburg Times called it fuzzy vision that will drain money from public schools without raising new revenue to replace it. Well, if the student's not there, why do they need it? It's an even balance shift, and that just shows that they're monkeying with their budgets. The paper questioned whether private schools would be able to handle the increased demand. Well, new ones would grow up. Churches would start Christian schools, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? Isn't that the biggest fear that these secular scumminess fear, is that churches would take over that jurisdiction again? That's really the jurisdiction of the family, but they can say, hey, we want the church in town to teach our kids. Wouldn't that be fantastic? So that's good. You know, more power to this new guy down there. You know, I'm not a big fan of... Republicrats, communists, but that's okay. You know, here, you know, it's like the pastor was saying, that we stand on the shoulders of parents in the 1980s that went to jail to homeschool their kids. Well, the direct line of that is that you got governors talking about educational choices. We may not like, you know, the way the battle's going to end up, but at least the battle's taking place, right? Okay. I don't know. I don't know what your decisions are on that. Tin can and string regional occupational program. Thank you, Warland. I learned to weld in the ROP. I'm not even, I think their target age is like 14 to 25, but they opened up their doors to make money to adult education. And the place I work, I think it was like $500 to take this course. They paid it, and I went and learned to weld in an ROP program down in Riverside County, California. You know, so I'll exploit the enemy. I may not like the public school system, but I'll go use it. I may not like the scumminess liberal slant of the community colleges here in California, but I went in there and stood in the gap and argued and stuff, so I'll exploit it. And I think all of you should. If there's a skill that you think will help you with survival, go exploit it. And right now, if your kids are in and you find out there's a voucher system or a homeschool option that you can even get some funding from them, I met some people, Navy Davey, I don't know if he wants me to share. Is he in there? No, he's not in there. He pulled his kids out of school, and they do distance learning. And they use all the resources that the county has, but they put their Christian slant on it. Eh? That's a California thing. People should be doing it. We just choose to pull them out. And Lou's homeschool is learning how to run a radio station. Because if you just focus solely on the task of reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're going to get bored. But if I teach him how to do his own radio station someday, maybe he'll get a job at a radio station. Hey, we saw at, where were we? We saw those at Big Lots. They had these little McDonald's kids play sets where you can operate your own fast food place. Oh, yeah. I think we should get that for Lou in case this whole radio thing doesn't work out. So he could you want fries with that? He's all looking at me. Lou, I know you couldn't keep a job at McDonald's. You'd eat all the fries. You'd get fired for eating all the fries. He loves them fries. Yeah, I got my French fries in my left hand. I'm going to go play in the ball pit. That's what he'd tell the manager. If you need me, I'll be in my office in the ball pit. That'd be Lou at McDonald's. He loves McDonald's. Yeah, he could put his cheese grater to use there. His combat tactical cheese grater. Let's take a break right now. We're going to come back after the break. Yeah, I got some more news articles, but we're taking it kind of easy today. I had a laughy day with the wife, so I'm in a kind of jovial. I'm the jolly fat guy today. I'm like that. Yeah, we're just having fun. So we'll talk to you in a. Where's the music, Lou? You know you're not, because I didn't turn it up. We'll be right back.
It was he who had a party tossing tea in Boston Bay. It was he who braved the winter in the days of Valley Forge. Fighting side by side together with a fella named of George. Johnny Freedom, Johnny Freedom.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out on all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The
government is the problem. Is an emergency.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch and Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
No funny sounds from the Lou Meister? No, not to do my own funny sounds?
I don't have any. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you via however you're listening to it. And that's what we need to know. If you're listening to this signal right now, get ready. Grab a pen. Get ready to write this down. You need to email us at, here we go. Here comes the email. Ready? Get it ready. Get your Etch-A-Sketch ready. Do a light bright of it, you know, so you remember it. That'd be kind of funny. The email is Dutch, D-U-T-C-H, at, that's a little symbol that's an A with a circle around it. I don't know how you do that on a light bright. Dutch Jones, that's DUTCHJONES .info. I want to know how you're hearing this. If we're getting 10,000 hits on the website and not all those are mad Nazis or scumminess, I'd like to see where the signal's going, because we're going to use this to figure out how much we're going to charge underwriters and other hosts to use the space. The more we know about who listens, it's great for you to help us out there. You can help us with marketing research. We know that for every person in the chat room, there's probably 10 people that aren't, and that they're listening anyway. I mean, until we get the raw numbers from the servers, but it's easier for me to go, hey, look, we got regular listeners in New Zealand. They listen on pod on their pod people, and trust me, we love you pod people almost as much as we love the regular folks that listen in this time frame live. We know time zones, jobs, careers cause it to shift around, but let us know. I loved it. We're going to get a map of the world, we decided. We're going to put pins in it. And each pin's going to, you know, like a green pin's going to be one guy. You know, actually a blue pin would be one guy, green would be five, red would be 10. That's kind of what it looks like we're doing. We got clusters of people. A lot of people in Visalia down the hill listening to us, which confuses me. Because if they tune in every day to listen, like it looks like they do, why aren't they coming to church on Sunday? Let's see, what do we got here? We'll do our pinhead count, Batfag says. You know, what's the pinhead count? So you got to help us out there. Let's see, what else is going on in the news? Of course, you know, there's so much financial stuff going on. I can't even keep up with it. I can't. I just can't. And the fact of it is, everything they're doing is bad. People say, you can't paint with a broad brush. I can when they're evil. I can totally do it when they're evil. When they're tearing down what's left of what our founding fathers put up, it's evil, and it's easy to say and point the finger and shake the stick at them and go, you're evil. I mean, did you see all the stuff in that omnibus spending bill? All kinds of refunds and pork and you know, and it's funny, if you look at it, billions of it is like from, you know, lobbyists and contributors got money back. They donated $50,000, they get like a $9 million grant for their egg farm. You know, and granted, if people can get their money back, but it's like a circus of deceit and corruption, and it's like a carnival of theft. I mean, it's just like, and everybody's doing it, and it's not, they don't even try to lie about it anymore. They just dump this 1900 plus page report on everybody's lap and say, just vote for it. And most people are like, oh, just let it go. So nationally, I've just been kind of like, we're screwed. You know, I hate to use vulgar language, but that's true. We're done. That's just the way it is. Here's something weird that is close to my heart. Private armies. You know what I think about all these private armies like XE and Outcomes International and all these different groups. It's turning out, especially with these WikiLeaks, that Obongo has gone nuts with mercenaries. He's using mercenaries in these private military companies like Blackwater, you know, it's not formerly Blackwater, 10 times more than Bush ever did. And they're using them all around the world. They're using them in Yemen. They're using them in Indonesia. And they're trying to hide it because they don't want to know you to know the real troop levels and the real impact it's having on our deficit. If you stop the war right now, we could fix the deficit fairly easy. But the fact of it is, they say, oh, we only got 30,000 troops. Well, yeah, that's military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, whatever's over there, Coast Guard, TSA. But the truth is, they may have another 50,000 mercenaries that they have little or no control over, really, that are, again, training over there to come here. But that's a side note to this article. Now, America's New Mercenaries is an article that was in the Daily Beast. This is from New York. As American commanders meet this week for the Afghanistan review, Obama is hiring military contractors at a rate that would make Bush blush. Tim Shorrock of the Blackwater, on the Blackwater Airs, all these little companies that came out after Blackwater created the niche, then all these small companies. What it is, it's ex-CIA, ex-special ops guys all get together and started all these companies and shield companies and smaller companies, and they put them overseas, in the Marianas, all that kind of stuff. Now, top U.S. commanders are meeting this week to plan for the next phase in the Afghan war. In Iraq, meanwhile, gains are tentative and in danger of unraveling. Both wars have been fought with the help of private military and intelligence contractors. They torture people. But despite of the troubles with Blackwater in particular, charges of corruption and killing of civilians were heaved upon them, and continuing controversy over military outsourcing in general, private sector armies are involved more than ever before. Without much notice or debate, the Obama administration has greatly expanded the outsourcing of key parts of the U.S.-led counterinsurgency wars in the Middle East and Africa. And as a result, for its secretive air war and special operations missions around the world, the U.S. has become increasingly reliant on a new breed of specialized companies that are virtually unknown to the American public. Yet, they carry out vital U.S. missions abroad. So they're doing this in our name, and they're not sworn soldiers. They're not held to a code of conduct, whether you want to believe it or not. Companies such as Blackbird Technologies, Glevum Associates, K2 Solutions, and others won hundreds of millions of dollars worth of military and intelligence contracts in recent years to provide technology, information on insurgents, special forces training, and personnel rescue. They win their work through the large established prime contractors, but are tasked with missions only companies with specific skills and background in covert and counterinsurgency can accomplish. Now, what would happen if we declared our militia a professional army and got a business license? They'd be all over us, wouldn't they? These people, it's nepotism. They have ties back to the intelligence world. This isn't just some guy saying, hey, let's do this. Some observers fear that the widespread use of contractors for U.S. counterinsurgency efforts in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Horn of Africa could deepen the secrecy surrounding the American presence in those regions, making it harder for Congress to provide proper oversight. Bingo. Again, the president using your pocketbook to field his own army that answer to the State Department and ultimately to him. Hillary's army is what this is. She can put them anywhere she wants. Blackbird, which is staffed by former CIA operatives, is a key contractor in a highly classified program that sends secret teams into enemy territory to rescue downed or captured U.S. soldiers. That's the cover story. They go in and do assassinations and snatches. Among the companies getting contracts is Blackbird, which is staffed by former CIA operators and is a key contractor in a highly classified program. I already read that one. Glevum. Doesn't sound like you're sneezing. Glevum. Meanwhile, fields a small army of analysts in Iraq and Afghanistan to provide the U.S. military with what the company opaquely describes as information operations and influence activities. What better way to influence somebody than torture them? And K2 is a highly sought-after subcontractor and trainer for the most secretive units in the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, including the SEAL team that rescued the crew of the Maersk, Alabama, from a gang of pirates last year. It is based near the Army Special Forces headquarters in Fort Bragg, how convenient, North Carolina, and was founded by Lane Kingelson, a former Special Forces soldier, CIA. Now, General David Petraeus, the top U.S. commander of conventional and special forces in war zones, is using contractors because he wants an organization that reports directly to him. That's kind of scary. Said a former top aide to the commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command, the umbrella organization for all special forces. Everyone knows Petraeus can't execute his strategy without the private sector. Now, the former aide spoke on the condition of anonymity, saying his career could be jeopardized if he went public. The International Security Assistance Force, let's see, what's that? ISAF, the ISAF. The general's home command did not respond to a request for comment. Well, no kidding. They have their own secret police force. The Gestapo is here, people. And it is them, the corporations, just like I said, the little fiefdoms, these knights, these vassals, that really their only loyalty goes to the guy who's writing the check, which is corporate owners, right? Now, the use of contractors could become a serious problem if controversies about them are not addressed. A senior British official warned during a recent visit to Washington. Pauline Neville-Jones, the UK Minister of State for Security and Counterterrorism, and a former executive of a private military army intelligence contractor, told an audience at the Brookings Institute that we have something of a crisis in Afghanistan, partly because of the largely unregulated private sector security companies performing important roles there. Now, the Pentagon Central Command has nearly 225,000 contractors in the field in Iraq and Afghanistan. Did you hear that? A quarter of a million contractors doing tasks ranging from providing security to base support. Intelligence agencies such as the CIA and the NSA, which is the real scary one, field thousands of others that they won't tell you how many under classified contracts that are not publicly disclosed. So we know of a quarter million of them that the Defense Department does. But how many other mercenaries, how many other Hessians under the NSA? They extend to every U.S. military command around the world, it's suggested here. Now, according to reports in The Nation and elsewhere, Blackwater, which is now known as XE, has contracted to send personnel into Pakistan to fight the Joint Special Operations Force, to fight with the Joint Special Operations Command there. Although they say it's not happening. You know, the Defense Department says, oh, no, we don't have XE in one, we've got foreign troops fighting on the ground in Pakistan already. Doesn't matter if they're wearing a corporate badge or a state badge. They're being sent in your name with your money. Now, in response to the questions in this article, Neville Jones said that American and British forces must work out the operational rules and the roles that they have when they are in the front line. Think about it. Soldiers have a code of conduct. In the Army, I have the Uniform Code of Military Justice. What do these private armies have? Bottom line, that's what it is. Keep the stockholders happy. Unless that happens, we are in danger of getting up against Geneva Convention problems and failure to observe fundamental rules of war. Remember what's written, the law of man is the law of God is written on the hearts of men, the lesson we teach you. Now, a spokesman for SOCOM would not say exactly how many people work on its contracts, but did say that between 2001 and 2009, SOCOM's budget grew from about $3 billion to $10 billion. Neither SOCOM nor Special Operations Forces outsource combat operations, the spokesman said. About the only contractors Special Operations Forces might have with them on operations are interpreters. Don't you love that? Oh, we're just supplying interpreters. Then why do they get so many guns and why are they shooting schoolgirls in Iraq and getting away with it? However, private contractors are now fulfilling vital functions previously done by the military itself. Sure, the shell game. They pulled all of our combat troops out of Iraq, but now there's a quarter million of them. I bet over half of them are in Iraq. Blackbird is a case in point. Based in Herndon, Virginia, a stone's throw from the CIA, Blackbird deploys dozens of former CIA operatives and provides technology solutions to military and intelligence agencies. Much of the company's revenue, including $450 million contract awarded last year by the Navy Space and Naval Warfare Systems Command, comes from the deployment of special teams and equipment into enemy territory to rescue American soldiers who have been captured by Taliban and Al-Qaeda units. I thought our military was doing this. Why are we picking out the yellow pages and sending in contractors? Strange stuff, isn't it? Really strange stuff. And where's the loyalty of these corporations? To the Constitution? Really? You seriously think that? Until recently, the task of rescuing soldiers was largely carried out by the military's Joint Personnel Recovery Agency. But Secretary of Defense Robert the Traitor Gates, who kills Christians in Bosnia, had commended that the agency's parent company in Virginia be closed. Don't know why. Weird stuff here. I could read on and on, but it's just I'm trying to prove to you guys that when they say, oh, our soldiers won't shoot us when they come here, it's not going to be our soldiers. They have 250,000 that they admit to on the payroll already. Kind of, we can kill them all. Bullet in the head, doesn't matter. And the minute things get tough, you know, they may start rethinking their $30,000 a month salary when we cut off the means for the company to pay them. Yeah, there's no conspiracy. I'm just making this up out of whole cloth. Yeah, there aren't secret armies out there. There aren't secret government agencies that don't answer to Congress. No, that's not happening. Next time some sheephead comes up to me and says that, it's going to take all my strength to keep from slapping them, Lou. You have to help me. You know what I'm talking about. Next time somebody tells me that what we're doing here doesn't mean anything, that we're distracting from the gospel message, that we're scaring people away. Well, you should be scared because this stuff's going on. Sometimes it's only the people suffering under the tyranny that actually see it's there. The rest of you guys are all doo-doo-doo and complacent in it. And complacent and complicit are very, very short distances to travel, isn't it? So when you're telling, next time you tell somebody, oh no, there's going to be martial law, and they go, oh no, our troops will never do it. Well, they're going to keep our troops overseas fighting these ridiculous wars, and they're going to deploy corporate troops. Just like the old wars during the Middle Ages, right? The different knights, the fiefdoms. Nothing's changed, has it? Well, no, on that one a while when I come to a next story here that's just going to it's gonna blow your mind. Let me find this here. This one I was going to save for... where is it? Oh, man, where did I put the story? On the kidneys. That's anti-Nazis. Where's my kidney story? Did they... Facebook took it down. I put up a story about the KLA, the snake Taki over there in Kosovo. They got caught killing Christians, taking their kidneys and selling them to Jews in New York. And in fact, after the war ended, they kept several people in concentration camps. Then there's no way that our government didn't know about it. And now I got to find the story. It's missing. And harvesting organs and selling them to rabbis in New York. Let me find this article here. And it's really weird to me that I can't find it because I posted it on Facebook, but the Zionists at Facebook always like to take it off because, you know, there's Muslims involved. I found the original one here. Here we go. KLA behind deadly human organ transplant underground black market. Now remember, the KLA are the Taliban terrorists that Madeleine Albright and your Defense Department put in charge of Kosovo, and they murdered, raped, genocide over Serbian Christians. Again, another war that we were in the wrong side. Now this is, the Economic Union is investigating this. The UN is going to go in there and check it out. But regular cops figured this out. Now, in Pristina, Kosovo, European Union police in Kosovo on Wednesday asked for hard facts to back up claims made by an investigating civilian detainees of the Kosovo Liberation Army, and that sounds totally scummyist, were shot to death to sell their kidneys on the black market. So the detainees of the KLA. Now, a Council of Europe investigator Dick Marty, wasn't he one of the guys on Bewitched? Stay awake. Dick Marty rocked Kosovo with his report released Tuesday that also suggested that Prime Minister Hashim Taki, remember he's the snake, Hashim Taki, T-H-A-C-I, and we've talked about it here on the Code 20 reports, was once the boss of a criminal underworld behind the grisly trade. Now, Taki was the rebel Kosovo Liberation Army political head during the 98-99 War for Independence from Serbia. His party just won the Kosovo's first general election. Yeah, because he went out and killed everybody else. And it declared its independence from Serbia, since it declared its independence in 2008. It's a known fact. It's in the news. He went around and killed his Muslim counterparts that were running for president. Now, an early EU investigation into claims that organ harvesting took place in northern Albania did not come up with any proof. Of course it didn't. Now, the prosecution based their investigation and the incidents on hard facts and proofs, Limdahl said. If there is any evidence of any of those allegations put forward in this report, the people that sit on that evidence should bring it forward. They've got hundreds of testimonies of it happening. They've got mass graves. They've got corpses with the surgical evidence on them that their kidneys were removed. They removed the kidneys, then killed them. Marty, a Swiss senator, led a team of investigators into Kosovo and Albania in 2009, following allegations of organ trafficking by the KLA, published in the book by War Crimes Tribunal prosecutor Carla Del Ponte. Now, that's a great book. Carla Del Ponte, who said she was given information by Western journalists. Marty's investigation found that there was a number of detention facilities in Albania that were both Kosovan opponents of the KLA and Serbs who were allegedly held well past the war ending in 99, including a state-of-the-art reception center at the organized crime of organ trafficking. They had a hospital built into these detention camps, and our government paid for it. You paid for it. Now, U.S. State Department P.J. Crowley, sounds like a Satanist, said that any evidence and sources cited in this report should be shared with competent authorities to conduct a full and proper cover-up, investigation. Sorry, I misquoted him there. We take all credible allegations of criminal activity very seriously. What about the genocide of Christians in Bosnia? No, you didn't. The rule of law is paramount to stability and progress in the Balkans. No, it's not. Instability in the Balkans is key to the New World Order gaining power. Now, the French Foreign Ministry said the European Union's ULEX mission for the rule of law in Kosovo was the proper authority to investigate. It's not going to argue over it. In all, a EU prosecutor has charged 7 Kosovos in separate cases for illegal kidney transplants in Kosovo in the capital of Pristina. A former KLA member, who's Al-Qaeda, a KLA is Al-Qaeda members, are also being tried for running detention centers in northern Albania. They're still crucifying Christians. Now, ULEX, E-U-L-E-X, European, Rex Lex, get it? European law. Lex is the law. Rex is the king. Has some 2,000 police officers and justice workers who are in charge of investigating war crimes and organized crime and oversee Kosovo's weak justice system. That's a lot of cops to bribe. 2,000. Now, the news shocked and dismayed Kosovo's ethnic Albanians. I am confused, angry, annoyed, and disappointed, said Vidak Gashi, an ethnic Albanian. Another said he found the report hard to believe, but anything could happen, said Nasser Lichi. I hope it isn't true, as it would be bad for everyone, especially the people who got killed for their kidneys. Interior Minister Bajram Rekshepi said the allegations were monstrous and not true and blamed Marty of having his own agenda to damage Kosovo. That's the first thing the Muslims do. That's outrageous. We haven't cut anyone's head off. Meanwhile, in the background, do you remember when we were invading Iraq and the information minister's like, no, American troops are on Iraqi soil, and like there's explosions going on and you see American soldiers running by in the background? Deny, deny, deny. Now, the United States and the European Union have pushed for Serbia to hold talks with Kosovo. Yeah, making the Christians bow to the Muslims again. But Serbian Foreign Minister Vuk Jeremic, what a name, V-U-C-K, it's probably Vuk, cast doubt on prospect of holding talks with Thaki. Now, Thaki, the snake, is a butcher. He trained people to rape little girls, and he's the leader of a nation. I have no kind of plans to meet with this man, Jemeric said at a national conference in Moscow on Wednesday. I don't know what kind of future this man has if you pay attention to the reports of the Council of Europe investigation. I think his own guys are going to kill Taki, actually. He's getting too much attention in the news. And it's funny that he was selling the organs to Jews. Isn't that really weird that rabbis in New York were buying Christian organs? It kind of goes back to that whole the bloodletting ceremonies that Jews were accused of doing, doesn't it? Maybe they didn't even need that. They're probably just eating the kidneys. Hey, wake up, man. What are you asleep for? You're on guard duty. Wake up. Wake up. You got to watch the time. You got to make sure the commercials roll. And here comes the pastor. Let's make room. Pastor's walking in. So we're going to get ready here after the break for Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. It's kind of hard to follow. I'm not even going to tell him what I was just talking about. Over in Kosovo, they caught the KLA shooting Christians, taking their kidneys and selling them to Jews in New York. So go ahead and play some music. We'll take a break right now. And when we come back after that break, we'll be with Practical Christianity. It's going to be a long break.
And your cities are seething with domestic violence. And you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government. Will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. They're forced. They will take your guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims. Don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. They're unloading shipments every day. We fight. Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? Peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces, those ungodly troops will have to pay. Don't you think those light bright blue helmets sure make darn good targets? Up, 2, 3, 4, they stand out like ship boats on the bay. There's no more sinister way to attack the USA than to do it the New World Order way.
Who will deny that Christ is the head of the church? And what human power has an impious presumption to invade his kingdom, usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability, nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters use in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
On the firing line. I love that. I got to look up who that was. We just found that song recently on YouTube. As we're always talking about, we need good Christian patriotic music for the movement. And you guys aren't letting me down. You're sending me links. Good job. I think that one came from Minuteman. And it is time for Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, where Thursdays when we can, we bring you a live discussion on the things that you need to know to deal with those out there that try and shout you down when you tell them that you're a militant Christian. And without further ado, with today's studies and teachings, is Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. Good evening.
Good evening, Dutch. It's good to be with you and your listeners once again.
Glad to be able to come to you folks. And
Oh, hang on.
Stand by. Sorry,
technical. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, I apologize to all our stations down the line. We had a mistake there. Without further ado, here's Pastor Mark Campbell, and now that we got your attention.
All right. Yes, well, it's good to be with you, Dutch, and your listeners once again. And this is another edition of Practical Christianity, where we try to make applications to the word from the Word of God to our daily life. And I use the term where the rubber meets the road. Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to have your listeners, if they would, make sure they have a pencil and paper handy, because I think you're going to want to take down a couple of notes today. I know most of the listeners, you guys are already there with pencil and paper handy or to jot down notes, but I'm going to recommend some things to you today, and I think you'll want to write some of the information down. I'm going to use 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 as my springboard text today for my thoughts. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Word of God says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So Paul is talking to the young minister here, Timothy, and he's saying, study, and then in your study that you can show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's rightly handling the word of truth. Why do we have so many cults and sects in Christianity? Is because people are not rightly handling the word of truth. They're wresting the scriptures, and we have issues, and hence we have a plethora and a myriad of the cults that have risen. I was contemplating that in my mind today, Dutch, since the 19th century, how so many cults, you know, rose up in the 1800s. It's kind of a fascinating study in history itself. But that's not our purpose to discuss that tonight. Our purpose is to talk about how you, as a Christian man or woman on the land, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, how you can study, how you can be a better adept, how you can be a workman or a woman that needs not to be ashamed as you rightly divide the word of truth, as in what another scripture says, as you're able to give an answer to those of a hope that lies within you, to be able to give a good reason. So what I've done here is I've listed what I believe the top four essential tools that every Christian man or woman should have. Every Christian home, every Christian individual should have these top four essential tools. I find them after 30 plus years in the ministry, Dutch, to be the things that I refer to over and over again.
Because a lot of the arguments that come up against you are pretty typical, aren't they? I mean, they come at you with the same things.
Yeah, generally speaking, they're just tweaked a little bit, but by and large, they end up being along the same line.
Right.
Yeah, they really do. And so let's say, for instance, I had to go on a desert island. If I had to be incarcerated for a long period of time, excuse me, folks, I'm just having a little scratch in the throat all of a sudden.
You want to step aside and...
No, we'll just keep going
okay,
for now.
Okay.
But anyway, if I had to go on a desert island or I was going to be shut up for a long time, there would be four things that I'd like to have with me, and those that are essential, and I'm going to talk about some things that are not as essential but are very important, I believe, in the day and age in which we live.
Okay.
So number one, if I had to go on a desert island, I would definitely take my Bible with me, and I would take a King James version of the Bible. There are many, many Bibles out there, and I think, Dutch, we'll do another time, maybe down the road. We'll do a show on just Bible translations and that issue. It can be very technical. It's a very technical subject, but just suffice it to say for now, I personally would take a King James Version Bible with me. Let me just say, because I probably won't get into it tonight unless I just put it here. I do have other versions. I have a parallel Bible that has four versions in column, you know, four different versions that you can look at. And once in a while, I look at these other versions. Excuse me. A New International Version, a New American Standard Version. I seldom use them, but I do have them on my shelf. I'm not against a Christian having them on their shelf. But if I'm going to teach doctrine and I'm looking up particular doctrinal situation, I want a King James Version because I believe not only in the doctrine of inspiration, that we talked about a couple of weeks ago and last week, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yeah.
But I believe in the doctrine of preservation, that God preserved his word, and we have it preserved for us in the King James Version. And in my King James Version Bible, as you have in your Bible, Dutch, I have I want to recommend to folks, it's called the King James Bible Companion. This is like about a 4.5 by 4.5 little pamphlet. All right, it's maybe 4.5, 5 inches by 5 inches. It fits in your King James Bible in the flyleaf real, real well. It says over 500 archaic words defined. If you have a King James Bible, this book needs to be inside it. So I'm not using this as one of my four tools because this is always in my Bible and it fits real, real nifty. And so these are the words that are used within the King James, because King James, you know, was printed in 1611.
It can sometimes get you.
And it can sometimes get you. And I'll give it a good example. In the Psalms, David says, I prevented the dawning. In the book of Psalms, David says, I prevented the dawning. And we understand preventing today means I stopped it, I hindered the dawning. Well, in those days, prevent meant pre-event. He got up before sunrise. So we would say, Thanks, Debbie. We would say, I got up before sunrise, but David said, I prevented the dawning. So all you have to do is look up...
Pre-evented.
Yeah. So if you looked up prevent, when you'd read that in Psalms today, and you'd say, David prevented the dawning.
Wow.
What's he talking about? He stopped the sun?
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, for other words, just all kinds of words, like in the book of Acts, it says they went so many furlongs in length. And then that'll give you the modern equivalent, and they're talking about in there in the ocean passage. So I always have that. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you
where you can get it.
Yeah, where you can get it. It's printed by a man by the name of David Daniels, D-A-N-I-E-L-S, David Daniels. And I get mine. I buy them in packs of 25. I buy them from Chick Publications. So you can go online to C-H-I-C-K Publications or www.chick.com, and you can get King James Bible Companions. I all the new folks in the church always get
them, too. It's one of the handouts we give them.
Yeah, so that's with my King James version of the Bible. I always have my King James Bible Companion. I'm used to a lot of the archaic words, but every now and then one, you know, throws me, and I like to have it as well. So... I'd have my King James Version with me, and then I would also have my Strong's Concordance. Folks, if you're going to study the Word of God, it's just absolutely essential that you have a Strong's Concordance. If you've been in the church world a long time, many of you, if I began to quote a scripture verse, for instance, that's, I just take the one off the top of my head, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, and then most of you would finish begotten son, all right, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But if you forgot, the text is John 3:16. If you forgot that reference, as long as you knew for
some
God
words.
So loved the world, then you could look up in your Strong's Concordance, like a dictionary, you could look under loved, and you would find John 3:16. John 3:16. Now, when you look up a word like four, it's real difficult because you're going to have a whole slew of fours, maybe hundreds of, several thousand. World, for God so loved the world. If you look up world and you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, down, you get down to the W's, just like a dictionary. And so you can find, if you're looking for a verse, you say, well, man, what was that verse the pastor said? And you can get a quote, a portion of it in your mind. You can look it up. And then Strong's got it laid out real well. You'd find, if you look up, taking the word world, he'll show you where it's beginning in Genesis, if it's mentioned any place in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and it'll go all the way through to Revelation. And you can usually find the verse that you're looking for.
Now, you mentioned Strong's. What about, like, Cruden's Concordance? They're asking Strong's. It sounds like you're a strong endorsement of Strong's.
It's a strong endorsement of Strong's. I have seen Cruden's, and I've used it. If I didn't have a Strong's handy and I was in someone's home and they had a Cruden's, C-R-U-D-E-N-S, I believe, I've used it, but I have not used it extensively. The standard accepted work throughout Christendom is Strong's.
Okay.
You know, there's other topical Bibles.
Yeah, we got a ton right here.
Yeah, even in our research center, I knew we have a Cruden's Concordance. And so if it meets your needs, folks, then that's okay with me.
My recommendation, too, is you get one big one to keep in your house. Have some study ones, because you're going to loan them to people and they're not going to come back. That's been my experience.
And usually Cruden's are a lot smaller than a Strong's.
Yeah.
I don't know if a Cruden's is an exhaustive concordance. And so when we talk exhaustive, we're every single time the word the or, you know, what or you know, words like that, you can even find them in there because it's an exhaustive.
And the neat thing about having the book is, you know, everybody says, well, I use the sword, I use this. You don't have access to a computer, you don't have electricity. How are you going to continue your studies and your sharing if you got to wait? It's all on my computer. Too many people today rely on the concordances and stuff in the computer. Have the hard copy that you can turn to. There's something tangible about it, too.
Yeah.
Being able to point to the word and go, see here.
You're right, Dutch. I do most of 90% of my studying is done with hard copies, with the old books. I like to have a paper in my hands. I tend to trust them a little bit more. And I do have eSword and some of these other tools, folks, and I think Power Bible and stuff like that. And I enjoy them from time to time, but there's nothing like hard copy and the paper. And I think that's real important. And like you said, and we never know if we're going to be without electricity or lights or something like that. And so that's important. Now, in your Strong's Concordance, when you're going to use it, there's something that if you're not aware of how a word is defined, maybe it's a difficult word and you're not sure what Paul or what Jesus or somebody else is teaching. Right now, I'm still in 2 Timothy. So let's, for instance, it says in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And you say, "Nevertheless, the foundation." What on earth is Paul talking about with foundation? So you can look up foundation, and then it'll have a number just to the right of it, and every time it's used in Scripture, and it'll show you, and you can go to that number. First, you have to find out if the verse is in the Old Testament or the New Testament. If it's in the Old Testament, then you go to the very back of your book, and there will be a Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary. And you take the number from the Old Testament passage that's just to the right of your passage, and you look it up in your Hebrew Chaldee dictionary, and it'll give you the definition. Mm-hmm. If it's in the New Testament, in this case, it's 2 Timothy 2:19, foundation, it will take me to the Greek dictionary of the New Testament. I take that number, and I just follow right down, and it's real, real simple, folks. And then I can begin to understand words. As a pastor, I'm asked a lot, Dutch, about people, "Well, Pastor, what does this mean? What does this word mean?" And I do my best off the top of my head to tell them what it means. And if I'm not sure, man, we have a Strong's in the church, and I just go get the Strong's and say, "Hang on just a minute," and I'll get it in the Strong's, and you know, because I don't remember all the words. I'm not a Bible answer man. And so that's how we use it. So, folks, if you have these tools, I want you to utilize these tools, all right? So we've talked about, I said, four things that would be indispensable to me no matter where I was at. If I had to flee on the road in my car, I would make sure these four tools are with me. Number one, of course, being the Bible. Number two would be Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Number three would be a set of Matthew Henry's commentaries. Right. They're usually found in six volumes. The Queer Research Center here has at least three sets of Matthew Henry's. And folks, by the way, Strong's Concordance, you can get a Strong's Concordance at a Borders bookstore.
Sure.
You can get it in paperback. It's usually about $20 in paperback, or you can get it in hardback and utilize it a lot longer, and probably for around $30 or so. Strong's Concordance, and of course Christian bookstores, a Strong's Concordance you can find in just about any Christian bookstore. If they don't have it on the shelf, they can order it very easily. I take that back. Matthew Henry's commentary. We talked about Strong's being it, you can get it at Borders or any of the major bookstores.
eBay has them.
Yeah, eBay, whatever.
Amazon.
But now we're talking about a commentary, and I want to recommend to you Matthew Henry's commentary. And like I said, they're usually found in six volumes. Sometimes you can find an abridged Matthew Henry commentary in one volume, but I like to have the whole thing before me. And by the way, this six-volume set you can get at CBD, ChristianBookDistributors.com. I highly recommend them for those that are looking for Christian books. CBD, I believe it's CBD.com. But anyway, it's definitely Christian Book Distributors. And they usually run about $60 for the six volumes, $60. So they're a good deal. A really good investment, because even as a minister that's been studying the Word of God for a long time, I'll come to a passage, I'll come to a section in the Old Testament, and I'm not sure of the background, I'm really not sure what's going on at that particular time, and I pick up my Strong's and I get right in. It just helps me just get right in. And so if you want to be able to have an answer to every man that asks you, a Strong's Concordance is really an invaluable, or excuse me, Matthew Henry commentary is an invaluable tool. Matter of fact, I so utilize it. I've got that in the church office as well, in case somebody asks a question about a passage of Scripture. I may just not be sure about it. So I'll say, "Would you hang on just a minute? We'll get a Matthew Henry commentary, and I'll go to the book of Exodus or Ezra or Nehemiah, wherever the case may be, or Matthew or Luke, and I'll say, let's see what Matthew Henry has to say."
That website is www.christianbook.com. www.christianbook.com to find those commentaries.
Is that Christian Book Distributors?
Yeah.
Okay, CBD? All right. Yeah, they're really, really good. Then I would take one other volume with me if I was limited, and I could only take four books or four sets of books, and that would be the Institutes of Biblical Law.
Oh, okay. Rush Dooney.
Yeah, Rush Dooney's Institutes of Biblical Law by Rousas, John Rush Dooney. He's affectionately known as Rush to his followers, or Rousas, R-O-U-S-A-S, Rush Dooney, R-U-S-H-D-O-O-N-Y. I find for sermon preparation for Bible studies, I use the Institutes of Biblical Law just all the time. They are a tremendous study on the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and you would be amazed. It's a 800 and some page book, and how much application is made to your life and my life from just the Decalogue and the Ten Commandments. And Rush Dooney does a tremendous job in making the Ten Commandments applicable to our lives. It's one of those books that the applications that he gives just go on and on and on. Remember, to the listeners, the most utilized book of the Founding Fathers, the one that they quoted most often, was the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
Our Founding Fathers found a lot of help for how they should then live and how they should deal with government entities and the king from the book of Deuteronomy. And you'll find a lot of passages where Rush deals with Deuteronomy. And so that's a real practical tool for you to study yourself approved unto God. A workman, you need these tools, and that tool is the Institutes of Biblical Law. By the way, much of modern Christianity, Dutch, poo-poos the law of God.
Oh, sure they do.
Yeah, they make the law of God, and they make grace, and they pit it against each other. And they try and like, as if they're diametrically opposed. But the opposite of law is not love. The opposite of law is lawlessness.
Anarchy.
Right, law. Exactly. So we don't pit or law and grace. The opposite of law is not grace. Grace and law go together, Dutch.
Sure they
flow together, as you know. And so he does a real good job of what we call showing you the abiding validity of the law of God. And the only one that has the right to abrogate the law of God or change it or tweak it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the New Testament, there we'll find a few times where he's expanded the law of God. And so the Institutes of Biblical Law is, I believe, the four essential tools every Christian should have. Number one, a King James Version of the Bible. Number two, a Strong's Concordance. Number three, a Matthew Henry Commentary. And number four, the Institutes of Biblical Law. Right. Now, let's talk about additional tools every Christian home should have. Let's say you have these, or you have all but one, and you say, yeah, I'm going to get that. And, Pastor, is there some other tools that you'd recommend? There sure are other tools, and one is that Dutch refers to and I refer to, and that is Webster's 1828.
All the time.
Dictionary. Of Law and Society. That's found in Webster's 1828. I believe the company that sells that is FACE, Foundation for American Christian Education, FACE. You might even get it on Amazon. This one book, it's a big book. It's 8.5 by 11 by about 3.5 inches thick. The one book will cost you $55 to $60. But it's a tremendous resource, especially if you've got children in the home. It's a homeschooling tool. Homeschooling families or just an individual, if you want to know definitions from a biblical worldview, then you must have a Webster's 1828 dictionary. I gave you 2 weeks ago when we talked about the church militant, Noah Webster's definition of the word militant and how he used his best example of militant was to cite the church. Yeah. And any modern dictionary, you're not going to find it there at all.
No.
It's just not going to be there.
Or perversions like the word meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. Do people even know what meek means?
That's a good one, Dutch. That's a real good one. And then you've got your Webster's 1828 for the word meek, M-E-E-K. You can use your Strong's Concordance when Jesus says in Matthew that the meek shall inherit the earth. And you can also use the tool of Matthew Henry's commentary and see what he has to say when Jesus refers to on the meek inheriting the earth. So some real good tools there to use. And pray about having Webster's 1828 dictionary in your home and at a church for reference. Maybe some of you have enough money where you'd say, you know what, I want our church to have that available, that book for definitions. And so you can donate it to your church library or have your pastor put it in the church office if he doesn't have one folks, as you Christians are talking, if you're talking around the table and fellowshipping, you can have access to it.
Now, I want to add in here, the reason you may be saying, well, all this, these resource things, all I need is the Bible, all I need is this, all I need to do is just read the Bible and tell people, well, words have meaning, and the meaning changes, and we've discussed that here before where we've talked about, you know, hey, that's cool, I really like that, that's a really cool car, you know, or that's hot. The words change, almost some in bad ways, like they're talking about the word gay. What's the word gay in the 1828 compared to what it is now? Good point. If you let your children continue to be part of the degeneration of our language, eventually it's going to all be like Ebonics anyway. But if you have these anchors in the English language here, like this dictionary and Strong's, you can restore that knowledge. You
yes.
can build up the bulwark of saying, no, this word means this. So next time the government, you know, of course I'm going to go government on you. Next time the government says, we're a democracy, you can say, no, we're not. The next time somebody gets biblical on you and says, well, we're Christians, we're supposed to be meek, show them what meek really means.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So you've got to arm them to fight both verbally, physically, spirit, and spiritually, three ways. So that's why it's important that you have these tools in your home, especially for homeschooling.
Excellent point, Dutch. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. So we talked about Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language, and we're going to talk about another book. It's called Law and Society. This is actually Volume 2 of Rush Dooney's works on the Institutes of Biblical Law. The Institutes of Biblical Law is Volume 1 of a trilogy, and Volume 2 is called Law and Society. And I find the applications that Rush Dooney uses, I'll tell you what, they're just so important for the civil magistrate. And I know much of our discussion and your listeners is, how is godly government, what does it look like?
What's it going to, yeah.
Yeah, what are Christians in office, what should they be doing? And you'll find these tools, Institutes of Biblical Law and Law and Society by Rush Dooney. You would go to Ross House Books if you wanted to obtain a copy. You could type in Ross House Books or the Council at Chalcedon, Chalcedon, to get those books. And I would certainly recommend them. Are we going to a break here in a second?
In about a minute. We got about a minute to a
break. Let me talk about an exposition of the whole Bible in the last minute that we have here before the break, and then we're going to get into something called eschatology. We'll talk about
fun.
A big word. Exposition of the whole Bible. If you can find a book, I use a book by G. Campbell Morgan called The Exposition of the Whole Bible. It's out of print right now, but you could maybe look on abebooks.com, abebooks, and maybe they'll have G. Campbell Morgan's Exposition of the Whole Bible. Anybody probably would do a pretty good job of it. It's just every chapter of the Bible is in one volume, and it's in summary form. So it might be two paragraphs, it might be five paragraphs on one chapter. The reason why I like it, Dutch, is because it really helps me. If you told me and you said, Warren, go to Hosea chapter 4 right now, and I said, oh, I went to Hosea chapter 4, and in my mind I got to remember, now let's see, is this post-exilic, after the exile, before the exile,
okay.
You know, is the temple been destroyed at this point, or is the temple not been destroyed, are we in the second temple, rebuilt temple, where we're at, you know, and who's the king when Hosea is talking, I can't remember all that stuff. So by you getting an exposition book of the whole Bible, it just helps you to know, especially when you're in the Old Testament, where you're at, who's on the throne. And so I highly recommend, if you can find a book that has an exposition of the whole Bible.
Sure. Well, I can hear the music. We're going to do a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about eschatology. Are we going to define the word or actually talk about eschatology?
Both.
Oh, wow. I didn't know we were going to get into this. So, folks, stay tuned. This is Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell on Liberty Tree Radio and on Stronghold Radio. And we'll be right back after this break.
No weapon that fashioned against us will stand. That belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength. Darkness comes in.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters. You're listening to Liberty Tree Radio. Also, you're listening to Stronghold Radio from the church at Kaweah, where on Thursdays we like to bring you Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. And this time I made sure I had his mic turned on before I did it. I won't give you the big feedback blast to all the radio stations down the line. I apologize. But we're discussing Bible study tactics, resources you should have, and we are taking questions. We want to know what you use. How do you attack a verse when you don't understand it? What resources do you use? And if you have a question on how you may do that better, you can call in. The phone number, get your crayons ready. It is area code 559-561-8225. The number once again is area code 559-561-8225. And as always, you go right on the air, so have your question ready. Just say who you are, where you're calling from, any pleasantries you want to exchange, and just hit us with your question. And without further ado, we're going to pass it over back to the pastor from the church at Kaweah in Kaweah, California, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell.
Thanks, Dutch. It's good to be with you folks once again. We've been discussing the essential, what I believe to be the essential tools after 30 years in the ministry for that every Christian should have. The four top tools for studying to show ourselves approved unto God is the Bible, King James Version, Strong's Concordance, Matthew Henry's Commentaries, and Institutes of Biblical Law. If you just joined us, that we talked about those four tools for proper study of the Word of God. And now we're discussing additional tools that I believe every Christian home should have. The others were essential tools. If I was to be incarcerated for a long time or I was locked up in a desert isle, I would want those four tools that I mentioned to you. And then we've been discussing other tools that are really good and profitable for personal Bible study and edification. Well, we live in an age where eschatology is very prominent in the thinking and the minds of people. Eschatology comes from the Greek word eschaton, which means last things, the last things, the last, what we get the concept of the last days. And so eschatology is a very important subject, and it's a very volatile subject. People have real strong opinions about that. And so, but I do have two books that I want to recommend to your listeners in regards to studying eschatology. I was raised in church my whole life. There was never a time where I was have not been going to church regularly. But when I was a young man in the ministry in my 20s, as I began to study, and I studied about what's known as, I was raised under something known as dispensationalism. That's the common, if you talk about the Left Behind series of books by Tim LaHaye.
Yeah.
The dispensationalism, or the pre-trib rapture, and even the post-trib rapture, but especially the pre-trib rapture, is the popular teaching of the last 100 years, in going back a little bit further than that. It's what everybody seems to like, and if you're going to go to a movie theater and there's a movie about the last days, it's going to be with that, usually that mindset or that persuasion. So I personally, Dutch, I just didn't like it. I didn't think it made sense, the pre-tribulation rapture, dispensationalism. It didn't fit as I understood the Word of God. And so I just left it on a shelf until I was probably about 30 years old. I got a book into my hands, and it was called Last Days Madness by Gary DeMar.
Right.
So I want to recommend to you Last Days Madness by Gary DeMar. It's produced by American Vision.
They're a radio network also.
Yes, and he's done a tremendous job. And he's just taking Matthew 24, a very popular prophetic passage, and he's breaking it down in such a way as to where I could understand it. And so that I got acquainted with that probably about 92. And so it revolutionized and changed my life, Last Days Madness. And so I no longer have the obsession with the modern church. Actually, I never did. But those that are looking for Jesus Christ to come back at next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And the problem with dispensationalism, it has led America largely to where we are today. Christians who don't get involved, Christians who are apathetic because they believe Jesus is going to come back next week at 10 o'clock. They believed he was going to come back in 1988. Some of your listeners might recall these books. Jesus is going to come back in 1988. He's going to come back in 1982. He's going to come back in 1994. These are popular books. And what it does is it's constantly taking people out of the fight for the soul of this nation, because why get involved in building the kingdom of God other than snatching a few brands from the fire, getting a few people saved, and then dispensationalists generally are good at trying to get people to come to Christ. I admire them for that. There's zeal there. But they have not gotten involved other than voting. A modern Christian, they think if they vote once a year, that's all they've done.
That's their commitment. That's all they've got to do.
Right. That's their patriotic duty. That's their political duty. And that's about it.
Okay, I've got a question here that goes back to the study thing, and I didn't slow you down, but
go ahead.
I know you're going to like this question. This one's from Oliman. It says, what about marking your Bible? What about writing in it? What about putting things on the margins and taking things that you learn from other books and writing in? And I know what your answer is going to be. And what do you think about people that are afraid to write in their Bibles?
Thanks for asking that question, because I always tell people that if you have a Bible that you don't want to write in because the Bible is too holy and too sanctified, throw that one away and get another one that you can write in. If you look at my Bible, it's all marked up. I'm right here. I'm open to the book of Hebrews chapter 1.
Yeah.
And it shows Philemon, the epistle of Paul to Philemon. And I've got probably 20 verses underlined. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 spots where I've written in the margins. I've got asterisks that say go to here, and when I've used up the asterisk on that page, then I go to a triangle, then I go to a square so that I can follow the square, you know, just like you would an asterisk to lead me to the little information that I want. I think it's a wonderful question. Use a Bible, mark it up. Now, if some of you that, let's say you're not using a King James Version, you say, you know, I like Pastor Campbell, and I think I'm going to go out and get a KJV, a King James Version. Get one that has wide margins, folks. That's another tool. We didn't discuss that, but I appreciate the question very much. When I was a teenager, my mom bought me a very expensive Bible. It was King James Version. It's called a Thompson Chain Reference. Some of your listeners may have one. But the ink, the black ink and the red ink on the white paper, my eyes didn't like it.
The contrast.
It contrasted too much for me. And so I actually had to discard it. A very expensive Bible at that time. So get a paper and ink that you like with your eyes and get margins. Get a wide margin, a Bible that has a wide margin so that you can write in it. Excellent question.
Color code of highlighters, all that kind of stuff. We do that all here.
Yes, my Bible, Dutch, on these two pages here
world
that I'm looking at.
World famous pen in your pocket.
Yeah, I've got my world famous. It's a four-color pen because I used to be a principal of the an accelerated Christian education school, an ACE school, and so they always use four-color pens. Right now I'm looking at red ink, blue ink, and green ink, and black ink, all on these pages. Now, sometimes it'll just be blue ink or black ink. I've got my own little coding there. It just happens to be my Bible's opened where I've used all four colors. If it's red, that means I really want it to stand out in my mind, the passage or the underlying scripture.
Now, two things I want to add. Now, one, your father, Pastor Warren Lee Campbell, last I saw his Bible, it was held together with everything but baling wire.
Yes.
And it was imprinted, dog-eared, little inserts, because I had done a Bible study with him for several months, and I just saw him do that. And secondly, I've heard you say from the pulpit, and I want to hear it today, if somebody goes, but my Bible's too pretty and too nice to mark in, what do you tell them?
I thought I just did, Dutch.
But I want to hear it.
Oh, you want to hear it? Okay, I thought I did. If your Bible's too pretty and too holy to mark in, throw it away and get one that you can mark in.
I want to hear, throw it away.
Throw it away. Throw it away and get another one that you can mark
Stick
in.
Stick it on a coffee table.
That's almost
look
it almost
it.
Becomes bibliolatry when a person, a Bible worship. And we're not bibliolatrists here. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We're not worshiping the Bible. If you can't write in it, you've got a problem. And so I encourage people to get a Bible that they can write in. If you want it to be your family Bible, set on a book table, and you don't want to write in that one, that's fine. But your study Bible should be worn, marked up, and, you know, with full of, my Bible's full of papers and bookmarks and all kinds of things. And it has that tool that I mentioned earlier, the King James Bible Companion.
Yeah.
I've also got a little tool in my Bible here that's a little wheel, and it's what to do in times of trouble, what to do in times of sorrow, what to do in times of bereavement. And I just picked it up at a bookstore many years ago. It's called the What to Read in Time of Need. And so you can turn this little wheel, and it says When Discouraged, and it's got about six or seven verses.
That's great.
When Facing a Crisis, it's got several verses. So these are just little tools that I put in my Bible that you can have. And when I'm listening to a preacher preach, I have papers that if he has a good thought, I write it on a paper in my, I keep it in my Bible because I want to refer to that thought. And so those are just really, really excellent tools.
Of course, we're getting comments. No, we don't mean actually throw the Bible away. I don't know if you heard me in the background. Say, stick it on a coffee table somewhere. You know, put your family pictures, you know, your family tree in it. But the Bible that you take into battle, this is how it was explained to me by Warren Lee. The Bible you take into battle is a sword, and just like your sword in battle, it's going to get dinged up.
Yeah.
But you'll have that sword that you hang on the wall that you go, yeah, that's the sword they gave me when I retired. You can have that Bible. Don't actually go throw your Bible away. We're not into Bible chucking, you know.
DJ's right. Yeah, you might give it away or something, or you know. But yeah, I just wouldn't throw it in the trash. You're right. I wouldn't do that. It has definitely some good.
Well, we have the Bible that our marriage certificates in that you sign and that kind of stuff. And we crack that open very rarely. And we have our battle Bibles that are all tethered, tattered, and that. So yeah, we say throw it away. It's just a joke. I mean, you know, it's hyperbole.
Yeah, there you go. Beautiful word, Dutch. Hyperbole. Hyperbolic speaking. And the Bible does use hyperbole. That's when we get into Bible translations and so forth. We'll talk about hyperbolic language, metaphors, similes. The Bible uses all these types of... That's a good subject for another time. Very good.
So anyway, that was the question. And they're interested in your pen. Yes, it is the big, fat, white over blue pen, Bic.
Bic makes two pens. One's an orange and white, and one's a blue and white. The orange is a finer pen. I don't like it because it's real fine line. Yeah. The blue is an average line, and so it's put out by Bic, and I like the Bic four color pen.
Everywhere he goes, he's got that in his pocket. You know, it's good for throat strikes too.
Yeah. I could utilize it as a weapon if need be. Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, getting back to eschatology, I think we've answered.
We were discussing
questions.
The fact that I was exposed to a book around 1992 called Last Days Madness, and it changed my life concerning the doctrine of the end times. I am now what's classically known as a partial preterist rather than a futurist or a dispensational pre-trib rapture person. Preterist, it comes from the Latin word preter, that sees events as past. So while many of the and this is a, we can talk about eschatology another time, and so this is not a, but just a quick
overview.
Yeah, just an overview, Dutch. While many people see events still future, passages in the Bible, say passage in the book of Revelation, Matthew 24, the first 34 verses, I see Matthew 24, verses 1 to 34, as already fulfilled. And I see much of the book of Revelation is fulfilled, and I want to encourage your readers to a book that is a real resource tool. It's called Revelation Four Views, a Parallel Commentary.
Steve Gregg.
Revelation Four Views, a Parallel Commentary. It was edited by Steve Gregg, put out by Nelson, you know, Thomas Nelson Publishers. And what it does is it'll take the book of Revelation, it'll give you the four major views, and you have it right in front of you. So I just opened up this book, and it's actually to the point of the Mark of the Beast. Revelation 13, 16 to 18. And you have the historicist view, and I'm not going to take time to break all these down. What's the historicist view? You can look that up. The preterist view, the view that I hold. The futurist view, or the dispensational view. And the spiritual view. There are some people that just spiritualize the entire book of Revelation and don't make it really practical to your daily life. So you have all four views right there in front of you in parallel
form. Wow,
on
two pages right there.
On two pages concerning the Mark of the Beast.
And I like it because it's big print, too. I can actually read that.
Yeah. And you can see I've got it highlighted. I began to highlight it. And so I highly recommend Revelation Four Views. You may differ with me on the book of Revelation, but you can see how they side by side, how the four major views, whether one view holds water or it doesn't hold water, whether it's weak or it's not weak, whether it's a very strong interpretation or you would consider it a weak interpretation, but very, very important. And let's move on from eschatology to other commentaries that you might want to have, especially those that have the funds to do so. I like Jameson Fawcett Brown. It's a one-volume commentary on the whole Bible, Jameson Fawcett Brown. Calvin's commentaries on the whole Bible are good. Adam Clark's commentaries on the whole Bible. Those are the ones that I would probably use most frequently. The pulpit commentary is another commentary that I would use sometimes for sermon preparation. And so those are good ones to have. Let's talk about history for a moment. As your listeners, many of them are aware, we're teaching right now on Wednesday nights, Dutch, in the book America's Providential History. That really changed my life when I became acquainted with that in the mid-90s, and my understanding and my outlook on civil government and politics and those issues. And so I highly recommend America's Providential History.
They hear it all the time on my show.
Okay.
I take chunks out of almost every single show.
And it's put out by Providence Press, probably runs you about $20. And, man, it is just a tremendous tool. The only weakness that I find in it is I do not like his – I think he's a little weak on the war between the states, the war of Northern – a little bit more pro-Lincoln than certainly I would be. But I still appreciate it. And so I just – when I'm teaching through it, I just supplement that particular chapter of information.
Have you ever heard of Greg Bahnsen's materials? B-A-H-N-S-E-N-S.
Yeah, Dr. Greg Bahnsen.
Bahnsen, thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Greg Bahnsen. I appreciate Dr. Bahnsen, and I appreciate his materials very much. He died, unfortunately, at an early age, probably his early 50s, a number of years ago. But I do have his materials. He and David Chilton, if you like Greg Bahnsen, you'll also like David Chilton. And they do a real good job with the positive outlook that we can take America back for the Lord Jesus Christ. And those men write on that subject. So I would certainly recommend Dr. Bahnsen in those areas as well. So for a Christian to have a good handle on America's providential history, that's an important thing to do. Also, if we get into the area, and this is the day and age, you know, you have Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, people like that. Something I would recommend is I'd go to any Christian bookstore generally has a little fold-out.
The cults right there on the little turn thing,
And it's something you can even slip in the flyleaf of your Bible. I have one that's maybe about 2.5 inches wide by 8 inches tall, and it just kind of unfolds like an accordion, and there it'll have Orthodox Christianity, the Orthodox Christian faith concerning the Trinity, and then what the Jehovah's Witnesses would say about the Trinity, or what the Mormons would say, or what other groups that are out there would say, whether it's maybe Rosicrucianism or the Way or other small groups out there, and you can compare them so that you can stay with Orthodox Christianity. You know, our Orthodox Orthodoxy, Dutch. It's the trophies that were won in the crucible of testing and trial back in the 400s, the 500s, the 600s, the 700s. And let me just say while we're on this, and someday we'll talk about The Kingdom of the Cults, and that is another book that I would recommend, The Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin. It is the classic work on cults. The Kingdom of the Cults probably published around 1962, something like that. But a very easy to get a fold out on the cults, and you can see where they are. Cults, oftentimes, they flourish because of what I was talking about last week, Dutch, and that is the doctrine of the first glance or the first blush. Many times, a person that is in a cult, they looked at a particular passage and they just gave it a first blush, and so they believed the person that told them rather than looking at it more in depth.
Yeah, they don't chew any of the meat, spit out the bones, none of that.
They just don't take time to hammer it out a little bit further, and so I think that's an important thing that your listeners should be aware of. By the way, just in passing here, why is somebody classified as a cult? Why is a group of people generally might be classified as a cult by what we would call historic Orthodox Christianity? An Orthodox would be just the standard accepted position. The cults, almost every one of them, one of the hallmarks of them is that they will tweak the Trinity in some way. They will deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ is the highest creation of God, but they don't make him one with God Almighty. They don't make him deity indeed to be worshipped. Okay, that's why they're known as Jehovah's right. Witnesses, because they Jesus is the highest creation of God. And so, but getting back to that, the cults tweak the Trinity in some way. Another cult may deny the Mormons deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. Joseph Smith called the Holy Spirit a divine fluid,
right.
Whatever a divine fluid is. And so you can look at that up in the Book of Mormon. You can see that Doctrine and Covenants or Pearl of Great Price, wherever they're going to. You can look at those things. So I'm not picking on those two groups today. I'm just saying that's a hallmark, is they've tweaked the Trinity in some way, and usually one of the three. They're denying the godhood of one of the three. So these are books that I certainly recommend for teaching, and in I think they're essential. They're not essential, but they're very important for a Christian man who wants to study the Word of God and be adept at addressing the issues that come our way. And certainly eschatological issues and questions of the end time come our way. Issues concerning the person and work and the nature of Jesus Christ
right.
in this day and age. What about the New Age movement? These are things that come up and come our way, and I think of the tools that I've given you are very good at answering a lot of those things.
Now, I've received, like I always like to say, I've got my graduate degree studies going on here at the Church of Cahuilla in Christianity from the churches I came from, and we're getting some questions in here as we're going along, and I want to throw a couple of them your way and see how you hit them and where you send them. When people say that the word Trinity is not in the Bible, we get that all the time. You can't use the word Trinity. Trinity's not. I heard your local anti-Trinitarian was given a ride by you in Lou today, I heard.
Oh, yes. We had a good time.
Helping him out in the rain. But how do you advise, especially someone who's, kind of bucket-headed like me or many of my listeners, how do you deal with that question?
That's a good question, the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. The word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, yet I believe that there is a catching away. I believe the Book of Thessalonians teaches that we will be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the word rapture is not in there, but I actually believe in a rapture, a catching away. The word Trinity is not in there. It is a word that is used to help Christians formulate the teaching of the Godhead. For instance, the book of Acts, chapter 5, says Peter is talking to Ananias and Sapphira.
Mm-hmm.
And in that passage, he says, "You have not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God." And see, in verse 3 of Acts chapter 5, "But Peter and said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?"
Yeah.
Then he says, verse 4, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." He says in verse 3, Ananias, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 4, he says, the Holy Ghost is God that you lied to. Then we have passages like John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was God, not the New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses. The Word was a God. And the Word we know from John 1 is Jesus Christ, that He is God. And the Father is called God repeatedly in Scripture. So Trinitarian doctrine forms itself on the basis of that. Yet you have the Shema text of Deuteronomy chapter 6, that Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right? That God is one, yet the Bible says that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The three somehow are the one God, and that is the doctrine of the Trinity.
Great.
In a very quick nutshell form.
Okay, the last question we got here, we've got about 3 minutes, and I think it's going to take you about that amount of time to answer this. You were talking about the end times, eschatology. According to what you believe and what you studied and what's been manifested to you through Scripture, what period are we living in now? Someone says, oh, this is the end times. It's almost the end times.
Excellent.
We have listeners that want to know, and I've tried to describe it to them, and I think I want to exploit this opportunity to have you explain to them and the partial preterist view that where are we right now? And that was a great question. I think Warlin asked that.
Yeah, that is an excellent question. I would cite here Hebrews chapter 1 in verses 1 and 2. We're in the book of Hebrews now, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, of whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. So in approximately 64 AD, whoever the author of Hebrews is, I believe it was Paul, but I would not fall out or argue with anybody. I think it's Paul. We don't know for sure who the author of Hebrews is, but anyway, whoever the author of Hebrews is, we know it was written about 64 AD. They said that the last days were the time right now in the speaking of the Son when Jesus Christ came.
Walked here.
Yeah, and when Hebrews, and then in Hebrews 9, the same author says, for then must he, Jesus, often have suffered once since the foundation of the world, but now once, that is the Jesus Christ suffering on the cross, only one time, not like the Roman Catholic Church that has to sacrifice Jesus Christ on the cross somewhere throughout the world every day. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was once offered, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and so forth. But he says into the end of the world here, the end of the age. The Old Testament dispensationalism, with all its Old Testament sacrifices of lambs, turtle doves, it was ending. It was the end of the age at that time. So if you asked, are we in the last days? I'd say, yes, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And so in this period of time, I look for, so where are we? I look for the advancement of the kingdom of God.
Occupy.
By occupying, by seeing that souls get saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he came out of the tomb on the third day, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go. And of course, you know, our local station here, Dutch, is called Vice Gerent Radio, where we broadcast locally, because we are deputized. A vice gerent is one who's deputized with authority to do something. And so we believe we're deputized with authority to preach the gospel. So folks, don't be looking for things to get worse and worse. We'll deal with that verse in Timothy. If it's anybody that's in the back of your mind, I can deal with that another time.
Great.
But I look for things to get better as the kingdom of God advances. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God's like a grain of mustard seed. It'll get bigger. And the kingdom of God's like leaven hid until the whole loaf was leavened and, you know, made and grew up. Look for the kingdom of God to advance.
Yes, amen, amen. And with that, we ran out of time fast there. This has been Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell from the Church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. My mic's taking a bad turn here, so I apologize for the audio quality. I will get the mic changed out before tomorrow. If you're interested in finding out more about the Church at Cahuilla, you can go to thechurchatcahuilla.org. thechurchatcahuilla.org. Now, if that went by too fast, it's a complicated one, please just go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, you know it, and it's there on the links. It's there on the links. His email's there. His email has been down. I got to let you guys know. His computer died. We're having all kinds of computer problems up here. If he hasn't answered your email, it doesn't mean he thinks you're, you know, a problem or something. He just hasn't been able to get to his email. So please, please keep tuning in next Thursday. If it works out, we'll have live. It may be Christmas timey. We may just play one of his sermons to give the pastor a break because you have no idea what he does around here. So thank you for all the listeners. Thank you to Liberty Tree Radio, and welcome again to all those listeners who tuned in. If you want to hear the repeats, you can go to the page that Olima put up, and you can hear the repeat of this entire show and listen to the first hour. Remember, if you like what you're hearing here, you can make donations. Donations at DutchJones.info. We had somebody donate to the Church of Cahuilla. Michigan Mary's going to subscribe and get sermons, $30 a month, and you can get every sermon we do in a month, and Lou will make sure you get them. You just send $30 to the Church of Cahuilla. All the information's there. Thank you, and have a pleasant tomorrow.